We're speaking about why things are going so challenging in our generation. Loi behashorois rak bechukim eisonim. It's not a question of hasharis, is estimations or guesses. Chukim Eisanim means we're going to have like very strong laws or facts. Uvdus chazokos. And also uvda is a fact. Laws and facts. Aleinu levar, it's upon us to explain. Barishoina hachiluk bein dor ledor. The difference between different generations. Lama b'doris hakoyd min lanu. Why is it in previous generations? Kol chinuch shehu hayamayel. Any chinuch would work. Talmidei kol malamid ve'av kol av. Ve'ubnei kol av. Rubam kakul ma'ev de Hashem. Anyone. Doesn't make a difference how good your Rebbe was. Doesn't make a difference how good your father was. Rubam kakul ma'ev de Hashem. Most of them were ma'ev de Hashem. Obviously we're not talking about, you know, abusive relationships. That's a whole different story. But in general, they didn't necessarily know much about parenting. Nowadays, people take parenting courses, people like chinuch courses and different things, and they're necessary because we're much more fragile. But why is it that the way it is? V'loi chen ata, it's not the way it is now. I remember when I was in school, I had a teacher, and if the kids didn't do the homework, she would put the kids in the front of the class, and then she would just berate them and scream at them until they started crying. That was the way she'd do it. The kids would start she'd start yelling, and she had long hair. She would scream and like shake her head. And it was wild stuff. But nowadays no one would get away with anything like that. You couldn't get away with anything like that. Nowadays you have to be so careful. So why is it that way? And what the Rebbe is saying is that it's not the pshat that back in the day people just suffered in silence. It was it went. You know, I was talking once to a European. He was talking about a European Rav. I don't know what his name is. I don't remember. I never heard of him before. He was talking about how he was like the epitome of a machanach. He's explaining to me what it means to be a good machanach. He said, and in his yeshiva, everyone had a different job. When it came to Avdoleh, one person had to bring the Becher, one person had to bring the Pesamim, one person had to bring the Nair, one person had to bring the wine. So the guy that brought the wine sometimes would come late. So what he did was he started making Havdalah without wine. He just had the Becher. And he started making and everyone's like, it created this whole tumult. Everyone started screaming at him like, why are you late? He said, that was called good chinuch. So that's a master machanach. I said, nowadays that person would be retired. They would be fired right away. You can't do that. You can't do that type of thing. You embarrass a boy like that. So why is it that everything has changed? That nowadays you have to be so careful. Hasiba hapshuta va'ikresi. And he's saying a major yesoid here. The simple reason and the main reason is shahanoyar. Kam v'choyshev es atzmai le'ish v'terem ba moy adoy. The noyar, which is the younger generation, they get up and they're considering themselves already le'ish, independent, a man, even before it's come his time. They consider themselves already entitled to an opinion. It was a saying. Used to be a saying, children are meant to be. Anyone know that saying?
Seen,
that's an Englishman right there. He's going to know it. Americans are not going to know this. Children are made to be seen, not heard. What does that mean? It means you're a kid. Keep your mouth shut. What do you know already? You're a kid. But it's not like that anymore. Children are entitled to opinions. Until you know that, you know, part of the issue there's a book that recently came out about is that children are actually able to change their orientation. In other words, if a girl at around 7 years old decides that she thinks she's really a boy, so she can start taking hormones. as a child. Now, I want you to know that these are not reversible. And you start taking hormones and she'll start growing a beard and it won't change, you know, certain realities about the way she was born, but she'll have a beard. And that will never change. And children can do that. And this is one of the things which, you know, people are, you know, can, you know, wake up when they're 22 and 23 years old and say, like, what in the world did I just do? And a lot of that is happening. And that's one of the things that, you know, that a lot of the liberals don't want people to be discussing, is that people that are regretting their change in their orientation. Because we all understand that a girl was meant to be a girl, not a boy. But the liberals want you to think that if a girl decides she wants to be a boy, so then that's, you know, that's really what she wants to be. So they don't want to talk about the fact that people are regretting the fact that they're taking these types of hormones. But you can actually change very much the way a person is going to be permanently. You're talking about kids at young ages are making these decisions. And it's crazy. But that's what they think. They think that they're already, children think, the younger generation, that they're already entitled to an opinion. Loi hashara biduya. This is not just, you know, something that I'm just kind of like pulling out of a hat. It's not something that I just like imagine myself. The whole world is complaining about this. We're not coming to explain the reason and the cause of this. Why is it that that's the way it is? That the younger generation is coming up and feeling like they have entitled to opinion. That's facts. Facts are facts. Uruach shtus ze. This ridiculous thing. Ridiculous. Avar al b'nei hanoyer. Lach shoyv es atzmoy le'ish b'das uberatzen. That goes, that it passes over on the younger generation. Think that they're a person. B'das, they have intellect, ratzen, and desires. In other words, they understand things, and they know what they want. When he still is, his das is mehupach, which means he's going to change his mind, and his boiser, it's still very bitter. It's still very, it's underdeveloped. You know, I know when I was younger, I went through many different stages of what I wanted to be in my life. The first thing I wanted to be was a fireman, of course. Fireman. That's for sure the most exciting thing. Then I wanted to be a baseball player. Then I wanted to be a lawyer. And then for around a day, I wanted to be a dentist because I won the dental award in the science fair. So I'm like, oh yeah, I want to be a dentist. That didn't last very long. Then I wanted to be a psychologist. Then I wanted to be a pulpit rabbi. And then eventually, I ended up here. But people like, when they're young, they go through all different types of ideas of what they want to be. That's normal. That's what it means to be a kid. And when a person's young, he doesn't really have the vision, the foresight, the maturity to be able to understand that, you know, that you don't want to be a fireman or a baseball player. I wanted to be a baseball player for many years of my life. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I spoke about it in an interview that I had. That's really what I wanted to be when I was 15 years old. I was pretty good at baseball. It was Coach Malcolm who really thought that I would, you know, I had like the possibility of becoming a major league baseball player because my arm was like a cannon. And he said, you know, go for it. Like, you know, that was my dream. I was like, okay, it's my dream. I want to be a pitcher because you could pitch in a rotation and you don't have to play on Shabbos. I had the whole thing worked out already. I told my parents, I got it worked out. There was a Seventh-day Adventist who played on the Texas Rangers, and that means that he didn't play on Shabbos. You could pitch in a rotation. You don't have to be, if you're a starting pitcher, you can, you know, just work out the rotation. It's not a big deal. It's very doable. I told my parents, instead of going to Israel for the year, I want to go spend a year in the minor leagues. I wanted to, you know, I was 15 years old at that time. They were like recruiting 15, 16-year-olds from, I don't remember where it's from, but whatever. Kids are taking a lot of young people and trying to like get them into the farm system. And as a kid, I said, what do I do? My mother told me, you're crazy. Forget it. It's not happening. And thank God. I mean, maybe I would have been a lot richer than I am now, but I wouldn't have been as happy. But as a little kid, what do you know? As a little kid, what do you know? You're a kid. You don't know anything. And I was a foolish little kid. So that's what I wanted to be as a kid. But if people think that they actually have the entitled to their opinion, the kid's like, you know, I'm not going to yeshiva. I'm gonna go chase my dreams. My dream is to be a baseball player. So that ends up happening, and it ends up with tragic results. I've seen myself, you know. I've dealt with a bunch of young people that were at risk. You see kids dropping out of elementary school. I mean, that's ridiculous to me. Like, kids are saying, I'm not going to school anymore. I'm like, what do you mean you're not going to school? I don't get it. There was no such thing as, like, a kid not going to school when I was young. What does that mean? It's like, no, I decided I'm not going. Like, what does it mean you decided? How could you decide at 10 years old? How could you decide anything? What does that mean, kids decide? But we're living where people are feeling like they have the right to make decisions. I experienced it myself when I was one of my sons was about to go into high school. He was finishing eighth grade. So there was a meeting that was called of a lot of the parents in my son's school. The name of the school is called Chavez Das. It's a school, there's a cheder here. It's a nice cheder, it's a good cheder. It's considered to be, you know, like an impressive cheder. And there was a yeshiva that called together a group of parents. Let's say it was six of us, seven of us, whatever it was. They called them together, and they made a pitch that we should all send our son to their yeshiva. And there was an impressive group of Gedolei Yisrael that were there at this meeting. And they said to the parents, you all decide together. It'll be an awesome, like, group of kids, because these were great kids, right? You all send to our yeshiva. So one of the parents, and apparently many of the parents were, you know, we had a conversation outside after. It wasn't really part of the conversation because it was all Israelis. I was the only American there, and I'm a little bit of an outsider, but I was listening to the conversation. One of the parents said, listen, he said, you know, with all due respect, nowadays, parents don't tell their children where to go to school. We can't tell our kids where to go to school. Our kids are going to tell us where to go to school. And the language he said, I remember, he said the children hifsiko lios frayerim, which means they stop being, I had to translate a friar. A friar is like someone that you can convince of anything. You can't convince kids anymore. My son's going to tell me where he wants to go to school. I can't do anything about it. I can't do anything about it. I was in shock. Like a 12-year-old kid just decides where he wants to go to school and the parents don't have any say in the matter? Is that what's happening? But apparently, children are like have opinions and they don't listen. But he said, my kid's not gonna listen to me. He's gonna do what he wants to do. At 12 years old. But yeah, that's what it is. Chazal told us about this. It says when Mashiach is to come and we're in the tales of Mashiach, then there's gonna be a tremendous amount of chutzpah. Of audacity, audaciousness. Gam zois chutzpah, this is a form of chutzpah. Lachshe v'atzmoi, v'daitoi, v'ne'emanu v'betuchem, l'smach aleim. A kid at 12 years old is going to have the ability to decide which yeshiva is right for him. What does he know? Why? Because, you know, because they, you know, like the building has shiny signs on it or something like that? What does a kid know at 12 years old is going to make that type of decision? For a person to say, I have enough equipment to make that a decision. I've got enough brains. I have enough experience. I can make this decision. It's a chutzpah. You know, you have parents that have sent other children to school, or they've spoken to people. They know. They have experience. Listen. No, I don't need to listen to anybody. It's a chutzpah. Lach shoiv es atzmoi ves daitoi. The ne'amanim will betucham l'smachleim, his das and his himself. He can rely on himself. He's confident. Hadavar hazeh kol kach yislakei. This thing has gotten so contagious. It's gone viral. Ad shemishtoimim imanu, until it's like we're in shock. Lefamim liros tinoikos hachik tanim. The babies, these little teeny little kids. ruach atzmis, and they have so much independence, ve'oimitz miruma, and this like false type of like of shtotz, like of kvar mibat speitz ve'oila b'hem, even as little kids, lachshav is atzman anashim. They think that they're people. They think that they have opinions, as little kids. And it's a mistake, because they're not old enough yet. They have. They should have the awareness that they are. They do not have the depth to understand, and they should defer to their parents. But they don't. Why they don't is a good question. Now the Rebbe is going to get very deep here, my friends. He's going to say very deep. There's two problems that arise from this. See which one's bigger than the other. Ha'achas. B'shvil she'b'shvil zeh. Al kol madrich. Melamed u'mechanech. Any person that's trying to give, guide him. Any teacher. Any mechanech. Any educator. Mabid hanar kal oretz zar. He looks at him as if he's some sort of foreign type of, like, tyrant. She'bolim shalalav. That's trying to control him. Biyad chazoka. Force me to do things. V'lishlol mimenu, and to tear away from him. Shilton atzmusay. You're trying to deprive me of my independence. Independence? What does that mean, independence? You're a little kid with an independence. But that's what he sees it as. And he sees any person that's trying to give him advice or trying to assist him as an enemy. As an adversary. Someone who's fighting against him. Daitoi v'ritzoinoi. Uminis nagdus. There's friction. There's resentment. There's pushback. Apsina. Even hatred. Misoireres bekerev hanar pnima. It gets awoken inside of this young man. Deep. El malamdov aviv. To his rebbeim and to his father. Achenin unusilei v'shmais devreim. He doesn't want to, he's not interested in listening. I don't want to hear you. I don't want to listen to you. Who are you? Why should you tell me to do? I'll decide what's good for me. I know what's good for me. And there's this resentment and even this hatred. Ve'ech v'kol tam b'liboy. He doesn't have any way to really absorb it, to internalize it. Rak, the only thing he's thinking, ech li'poter mehem. He just wants to get away from them. He wants to get around them. He just wants to avoid them. V'lotzeis min yadeim, and to just get out of their hands. That is terrible. That's what happens. It becomes that, you know, they're not working together. He's an enemy. And we're just trying to avoid him. V'hashmiya. And the second problem? She'efshir g'doyla pirtzasa min harishon, which could be even worse than the first. He shebirishoina. She'ishus hayel ratzmuso loymiyaro. Because in the beginning, when this child's personality is still not mature, it hasn't developed. It's all coming out too early. He's still like a clean slate. And he's still like pure, and he's waiting for the impression and the impact that his rebbeim and his teachers behem beemes suffer like kesura, and they're trying to like fill him up. Not just with words. He comes to, they're trying to give their entire nefesh, they're putting their soul into this kid. Vel nafshoi chorosu, and they're trying to etch out on his nefesh. Asher kasher ischilu achar kach nitzotzi ha-nefesh ha-yelet. Hargoshoisav shivoisav ma'at ma'at lisnoitzitz. And when a little bit of his own desires are starting to slowly peek out as he's starting to get older, matzu kvar nar doshe midushna shel toira. He's saturated with the moisture of Torah. V'shomein mishemen mishchas kodesh. And he's dripping with the oil of kedusha. V'hayu hei nitzonei So anything that happens, just building on that, and it's getting bigger and bigger. And everything is just being added on what his Rebbeim have already started as a young boy. The impressions he had when he's young, Behem is Chanech, the Kedoshim is Gadel. He's just going to like continue in that path. A person starts at a young age with foolish ideas, with corrupt ideas. You got to erase everything. But if you start them off at a young age, and when they're impressionable, you're able to give them an imprint of what's important, what's chashiv, what a person wants, what a person gets excited about. So then you just build on that. There was a couple that lived in Teaneck, New Jersey, up the block from me. They were Baalei Tshuva. And the way they became frum, it's a pelvic story, was their kid got a hold of Rebbe cards. Okay? Rebbe cards. Now, when I was younger, we didn't have Rebbe cards. We had Topps baseball cards. And that was mostly, and the only thing anyone was interested in. No one was really interested in hockey cards or football cards. Only if you were like really bored. But most people, it was baseball cards. But, you know, that's what we would flip. And you wanted, you know, to have, you know, get the best players. And, you know, it was exciting. And then there was the future stars. And there was the all-stars, the minor leagues. You had all these, and you're always huddling all the players. And there's pictures of them. And this kid somehow got a hold of Rebbe cards as a kid. And the way the story went, it was actually Lag BaOmer. And they were like, Lag BaOmer, what's that about? It's like Rebbe Akiva. And they're like, who's Rebbe Akiva? They weren't from. He's like, I know Rebbe Akiva. I have his card. And he whipped out a Rebbe Akiva card. And he was like, look, it's Rebbe Akiva. And he got, like, told them the whole story. And like, and this kid got so excited about Torah that they had to send their son to yeshiva. It's like, that's what he was excited about. That's what he was interested in. And he started at a young age. And if we can impress upon people at a young age what's exciting, that's amazing. I want to tell you something which I think it's important for everyone to understand this, because I believe it's a reality that's an important reality. If a person starts at a young age and he's engaged in Kedusha, what he will be drawn to is Kedusha. For example, if a person listens to, let's say, good, genuine Erlich music, I'm talking about like music of someone that's soul music, Eitan, Yishai, Yonatan, you know, we're talking about the real Erlich music, he'll be drawn to that music. And the other music that's out there, he's just not going to be interested in that. Because that doesn't talk to me. It's not the pshat. It's not the pshat that he's going to say, ugh, this is treif. It's disgusting. It is. It's treif. That's not the pshat. It'll be even deeper than that. What the Rebbe is saying is that a person can start off at a young age where he's just drawn to Kedusha. Because if we expose our children at a young age when they're impressionable, that this is what's exciting. You get excited about, you know, about ruchnius. So then, that's what talks to them. Because when they're young, they're very impressionable. A friend of mine was telling a story. He made a big mistake. He was watching a basketball game with his son. He was telling his son about, you know, he's watching, there's a basketball player. They consider him the king. He's called the king. I didn't even want to say his name because I think he's a disgrace, but that's a different story. I don't think he's the king. Whatever. We're not going to get into that. I'll copun him. And he's telling his son about, like, why he's so good and what makes him so great. And his son said to him, Tati, Lee is the best. He's the coolest in the world. And he said to himself, what am I doing to my son? Now my son wants to be like this guy over here. What am I doing? So he said to his son, you know who's cooler than him? My Rebbe. You know my Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael? His Rebbe was Rebbe Yitzchak Berkowitz. He's like, my Rebbe is even cooler than Laba. And he said, yeah, your Rebbe's even cooler. I bet he's even better at basketball. And he's like, no, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. But what's the problem? There's a problem here. Because that became like this, what he was teaching his son was, this is what we are going to admire, right? Who's got the best outside? Who could drive the lane best? Who's got the best shot? And then, so that became the kid's his yardstick. So the problem is when children are small, they get excited by these things. For sure they do. And if they can establish their own opinions, they're going to like get excited about the most ridiculous things. And that stays with them. And that stays. That is the chiddush. It stays with you. You know, I'm sure you probably, many of you heard, Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Gadol Hadar, person who was unbelievable. I mean, his tzidkus, and there's a lot of amazing stories about how great he was, everything like that. It took him decades to get the Yankees out of his system. Decades. It took him decades to get the Yankees out of his system. Because anything that's ingrained from a young age is gonna stay with you for a long time. So this is a big problem, because if children are feeling like they can establish what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's bad, so then they start like getting ingrained with very, very corrupt values. Lechinata. Sheishius ve'atzmus hayeled mimaheres umisgabel umisgadel koidem zmanoi. So back in the day, a Rebbe can tell his child what's important and what's good. I go to some of the Chadorim, went to a particular Darche Torah, went to visit my friend Ramati Zeiger in Darche Torah, and he's got pictures of all the Gedolim on the walls. Right, you go to my son's Cheder, there's pictures of Gedolim all over the walls. And that's what they get excited about, and the Gadol comes to visit, and it creates this, I mean, you know, you see the stories about Rabbi Trank, if any of you read the Rabbi Trank book, about how when the Gadol would come to Camp Monk and everyone would get excited and they'd stand online and make a whole matziv about a Gadol, and that makes an impression. But nowadays, where children, you know, it's not a natural thing for a child or a son to be like attracted to an old man or a Gadol. So as a young age, they decide on their own what's considered to be impressive, who they put on their wall. And they put on the wall all of these lowlifes. Because they could get a ball in a basket, or because they could hit a baseball, or because they're a good actor or something like that. And this becomes what they're like aspiring to be. And that's what happens. And then it's very hard to erase that. It takes a long time to undo that damage. Because shifaisav, deoisav, hashkafaisav, mimaheres, it's coming too fast. Lispateach ba'oidam boiser. Oh boy, it's late. When it's still bitter. Marim, they're still, the arisim, it's still poison, it's toxic. And that's where everything starts. And they begin, like, that's where their vantage point. I'm going to make my own decisions. I have my own opinion. This ragish, his emotions. They spoil, be disraktious, the things he gets excited about. Loy mevushala, it's not developed. It's not mature. For him, efshar shem in das shaloy, visraktshusa, vispalusa, varisius. Could it come from this disraktshus, and this is spilus, that's poison. Tis rakemna sheifus vashkofus loy psulus veros, is it not going to come? This warped and wrong and poisonous Hashkafas, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to come of it. And that is a lot of the problem that we're facing. That we're trying to undo. And it's undoable. So a person says, you know, that's where I started in a Hanami. It's undoable, but you understand that that's a very big challenge that we have. That a person who has already started out in the wrong place, with the wrong hashkafas, with the wrong, like, on the wrong foundation. So then it's very hard to undo. You know, one of the things that I've seen, every once in a while, it doesn't happen so often, every once in a while you see like a boy gets involved in a relationship. The girl, when he's young. And sometimes that relationship will continue. And at this stage of his life, or at a further stage of his life, he would never even look twice at this person to consider marrying them. Because it doesn't match up at all. They're not compatible at all. But Lemaisa, because he's created an affection, because he's emotionally invested, he overlooks so much. And then the tragedy is if they actually follow through with that relationship. And then he wakes up one day and says, this is totally not for me. But what happens? When you're young, you're foolish. And a relationship is formed without any brains. It has nothing to do with brains. It's not intellect. It's just a childish attraction. That's what happens with all these taivas that we're getting attracted to. We're attracted to music that's totally not appropriate to us. It's not compatible to who we are. But lemaisa, we exposed ourselves at a young age, and therefore it's something that we just feel like, you know, I like it. But it's not compatible to us. We're stuck. And we're trying to undo that damage. And lifestyles, that things that we say, things that we see, things that we do, that because we exposed ourselves when we were young, it becomes very hard to undo. But it's important for us to realize this is not who we are. It's not compatible to us. In the same way, it would be a tragedy for someone who is involved in a relationship, who is emotionally invested, but intellectually he knows it's wrong. To follow through would be a tremendous tragedy. Because one day he's going to wake up and realize, this is so not for me. It's that way with everything that we've introduced into our lifestyle. We have to break away, as hard as it is. Continue, Bezeshem, next week.